It's dark so early these days, said Maggie Hope, staring out locked windows at the lengthening shadows. It wasn't yet 4 o'clock, but daylight in the Highlands of Scotland was only grudgingly cast out before it was reeled back in again. The November sun was setting, touching the blackened bulky hills of the island with glimmers of gold. Outside the oriel windows, Maggie could see past brittle old apple trees to a flock of geese that had settled in an empty field. Beyond lay the ocean. 6 hours of daylight's a meagre ration. But then, we're used to rationing now. From across a mahogany desk, the size of a small boat, Dr. Charles Yeager permitted himself a smile. He pressed his palms together, his long fingers tapered and elegant. Maggie had met many, many pale older British men since she'd moved from Boston to London in 1937. But Yeager was colourless, almost to the point of being invisible. His hair and eyebrows white, his face ashen, his eyes bleached blue. The doctor looked more like an ascetic saint carved from marble than a flesh and blood man.
You're always gazing outside, Miss Hope, he remarked in a low, sonorous voice, sounding amused.
In the late afternoon light, the sea was a glittering spearmint green. It stretched to the horizon, no land visible, an endless expanse of rippling water tipped by white-capped waves.
Looking for an escape, I suppose.
Maggie was a slim 27-year-old woman with thick, coppery hair pulled back neatly in a low bun. She put down her knitting needles and the navy sock she was working on. Socks for soldiers, each with Morse code V for victory knit in. Watching the play of light on the water has been one of my comforts here. I wish I could draw or paint it. The ocean's huge, deep and powerful, but we only see the surface. The secret is what lies beneath, isn't it?
And what do you think lurks below the surface, Miss Hope?
The doctor was backlit by the setting sun, a dark silhouette against citron. Foreboding crept over her, making the hairs on the back of her neck rise. We're at war. The enemy always might be closer than we think. U-boats, most likely. Wolf packs of them.
I don't mean literally.
Well then, who knows? Maggie turned her gaze back to him. Salmon, before they make their way up the rivers and streams to spawn. Sunken pirate ships. Monsters, mermaids. They call them Selkies here, don't they? The blue men of the Minch. Maggie had learned from the castle's housekeeper that the blue men, also called storm kelpies, were a race of sea devils believed to live in the waters of the Hebrides. The sea's always a mystery, isn't it? She sat across the desk from him in a red leather club chair, noting a shadow box of pinned butterflies hanging on the opposite wall. And what would your Freud say about the ocean, Doctor? Dr. Yeager was a psychologist who visited Forbidden Island once a month. A fisherman named Broden McLean brought him on his small boat, along with food, supplies, and fresh laundry. The doctor's job was to monitor the physical and mental health of the prisoners, the trainees, as they were euphemistically called. He was always immaculate, his German street suits well-pressed, his crisp white shirts giving the impression he could perform surgery at any moment. Dr. Yeager met with each prisoner in the castle's library, a chilly wood-panelled space redolent of beeswax polish, cigarette smoke, and dry rot, with glass-fronted bookcases and dark mahogany panels that stretched up to a plaster medallion ceiling. A reproduction of the English artist Sir Edwin Landseer's The Sanctuary hung over the fireplace's mantel, a painting of a wounded deer who had swum to an island, a momentary place of refuge from the violence of the hunt. In profile, the animal's large dark eye looked both accusing and sad. Even though it was a library, the books looked to have been bought for display purposes only. The few tooled, leather-bound tomes that looked red were on hunting and fishing. James Watson Lyell's Sportsman's and Tourist's Guide to the Rivers, Lochs, Moors and Deer Forests of Scotland. Isaac Walton's The Complete Angler and the like.
They were flanked by a selection of Sir Walter Scott novels, while H.G. Wells's The Island of Dr. Moreau kept company next to a set of Agatha Christie mysteries.